Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
We would like to acknowledge that this podcast meeting is being held on Aboriginal land, the land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. And we would like to pay respect to their elders past, present and emerging. And their multiple birth parents with children with disabilities.
And today's episode is a beautiful adult pea shoot, a member of our hangout. She's a pea professional, a social worker. She's never worked in paid employment, but she uses her skills every day. And she's an auntie, a chickpea to an adult pea shoot.
This podcast contains truth, laughter, and the occasional F word, so it's not really suitable for children.
Sometimes you just have to get your shits out. Shit, 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 shit. That's right. This is a language warning. Oh, shit.
Hello, Mandy.
Hello, Kate.
Well, Melbourne, may I just say, we had a beautiful sunny morning that turned into wind and now it's raining, but Mandy and I had brunch with Jordan.
We did. We went out to a cafe and we sat down.
With our beautiful Jordan from Acast, super, super, super supporter of this podcast. Oh. She had pea earrings on.
She had pea earrings and a donut and then a microphone, like basically our logo.
I'll get her to
earrings.
Send them actually yes. a photo for when this episode comes yes. out and the link to the girl who makes them because they
awesome.
Were so cute.
It was
so
lovely to see her. She's relocating to Melbourne.
Yes.
So we're going to have Acast help in Melbourne.
I know.
We're thrilled. We're just like excited about.
And she's probably going to live
future.
out of Eastern Burbs
with the peas.
So she popped past the pod bar and it's just super nice to see her.
So today we're very excited to have this person interviewed. She's a beautiful member of our hangout. So I'm going to say hello. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Hello, it's Jasmine.
Yes,
hello, Jasmine.
Everyone knows you in the hangout. You're a lovely member, an encourager of people.
You really
are. You share your stories and we're thrilled to have you today.
We really, really are. So before we get into your amazing life, we're going to ask our three questions. The first question is, do you have any songs that either pump you up when you need an extra pump up or get you through the bad days?
I do, yes. The fight song, Rachel Platten.
This is my fight song.
I have it often playing. And although I don't listen to her often, but I do love this song, Delta Godrum's Dear Life.
Yeah.
Simply because when it gets to the bit where it says, Dear Life, am I doing this right?
Yes. Yeah.
And none of us
kind
knows.
Of goes, am I? Like, and sometimes it's very, very. On some days kind of makes me go, maybe I'm doing this right. But that's what it is. And then there's, I can't pronounce her last name, but Brave.
Sarah
Bareilles.
Is it Sarah Bareilles?
I think it's Bareilles.
I don't know. It looks like Brailles.
And I think it's Bareilles.
Bareilles as well.
Yeah, I think it's Bareilles.
Forgive us, Sarah. Brave.
And then The last song is very, very, very special, and it wasn't until a few weeks ago when I was sort of getting all this together for this, Beautiful in My Eyes, and it's for my nephew.
No.
Because he was actually born the year this album came out by Joshua Patterson.
Right.
And I think this was his, I looked it up and they said it was his second, his second single.
Oh, yep,
off
yep.
The album. So by the time when Nick came along, it just sort of fitted. And to this day, when I hear it, it brings sort of tears to my eyes because I remember back when he was little and we didn't know what was going to be the outcome of things at that time.
Yes.
So, and he was always, and he was, and because he's also preemie.
Yes.
So he was preemie. I wasn't. He was.
Well, he can, his song is now on the two-piece playlist.
It sure is. Tell us, did you win any awards at school?
That's an interesting one. I always got an award at the end of the school year in primary school because that was just, I'm in the days when you had your end of year, and it was like every year when I was in primary school, you never knew what you'd get it for, but you'd always be sent to the library
and you had
to pick out a book. But you were never told what you got it for.
Yes.
But in high school, I got one award, which I actually wasn't there to even get.
Oh, bummer.
In year seven, because I was in hospital.
Yes.
So I got, and funnily enough, it was a book as well, because I actually got, I think I got some money to spend. So I went and spent it on a book, didn't I? Because that's what I got. But we didn't get awards throughout the year.
Right. There was
like you didn't get awards. I mean, I guess you guys maybe get where I'm coming from.
Yeah, different.
You didn't get awards get awards for, nice handwriting through, or if you got five awards, then you get a gold award.
It was better, the good old days.
Nothing like that ever happened. And it also, I think, wasn't a thing where everybody got awards. And I guess we grew up just knowing that not everybody's going to get an award.
No.
That's what it was. And so for me, for high school, there was, there was one and I wasn't even there to get it.
Bummer.
But I still had to sit through the high school interview.
Yeah, every other year.
And,
I remember that.
Yeah, so
books are a good
it.
Prize.
Yeah, books are a great prize.
Yeah.
Yeah, kinders do it.
Yeah, they do.
I actually have a memory of getting a book as well.
Yeah, I have a memory of getting a book.
That's a nice maybe idea.
I loved it in primary school because you didn't know what you were getting it for.
Yeah.
But we got to pick our book.
Yeah.
So they say, for whatever year you're in, they have different books and you got to pick what book you wanted.
You wanted, and that's meaningful.
But you didn't find out until presentation day or night. It was usually presentation evenings.
Yeah.
They weren't done at daytime.
No.
And you never found out until you actually were at presentation day what you were getting it for.
Yeah.
And unless you're a family that can spend freely on books, they are expensive.
They are expensive.
So
and I think they were even more expensive.
Yes, that's what I mean. And there wasn't the ease of getting to a bookshop like there is today. I don't remember.
I don't think Kmart sold books, did they? Like, I think you had to
still
go to a bookshop.
Not really the ease of getting to a bookshop.
No, that's right.
A bookshop for me, apart from like maybe a newsagent's, is 45-50 minutes away.
Yep.
Or even Big W is 45-50 minutes away. So, I guess the library is our bookshop.
Yep.
Yeah.
Or the locals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah.
And tell us the big question, why are you a P? Why are you a member of our beautiful tribe?
I'm an adult P student.
Yes.
And I have cerebral palsy.
Yep.
And I am a professional,
Yes.
And because I have a social work degree, but I've never worked, I've never worked in the industry since I received my degree at the end of 2014.
Right.
So I have put in for jobs and stuff, but it just hasn't happened.
Yeah.
But I don't worry about it. Because I still put in the work and I still put in the hard yards.
Yes.
And so nobody can actually take that
away
from me. So to me, that's an achievement that I didn't even think would happen.
Yeah.
So I never looked at, you know, uni when I was going to school. It wasn't even on the radar.
Yeah. Mm. Well, congratulations. So, what an amazing effort.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
you've got one more degree than Mandy and I.
You have got a more degree than Kate and I. No degrees here. No. So before we get started, though, tell us where you live.
I live in Central West New South Wales in a town called Grenfell.
Grenfell. So are you near?
What are you near? As in a big,
like Dubbo or Bathurst or?
So pretty much I'm probably 2.5-3 hours from Bathurst.
Uh-huh. Right.
Oh, 2 to 2.5 hours from Bathurst, 2 hours or a bit under from Orange, and about maybe 3 to Dubbo.
Okay, yep.
They're kind of all in the middle.
Yep.
All the big, and, you know, 2.5 hours or something to Canberra.
Yeah. Did you grow up there?
I did.
Yeah. Mm. So yeah, are your family all there?
My sister's not. Mm. She's in Sydney. Mm-hmm. So she's, yep. Just sort of come out of lockdown recently.
Yes.
We have been in and out of lockdown a bit, but not as quite as harsh as them. But they're in Sydney, so they're like 4 hours away. But sometimes I feel like a certain pea shoot is always with me because he rings every day.
Oh.
He did. Nicholas did ring me this morning, so I explained that I would be busy.
Oh, fantastic.
He said, well, I'll leave you a message. I said, you do that.
Oh, he sounds awesome. I can't wait to hear about him. So let's maybe get started somewhere around the start.
Yeah.
All right. Well, right from the very beginning, I spoke to my mum. So this is all, a lot of this has come from my mother because I went and sort of interviewed her for this. Yeah. Although I knew a lot of it, I wanted to get the things, get it right. So I was born by a planned C-section on the 16th of October in the 70s. We won't say the year.
We're 70s.
We'll just leave that out.
70s babies here.
My due date was the 15th.
Okay.
So I was born, obviously, in a hospital in country New South Wales. So I was born at 8:30 in the morning.
No.
And back in the 70s, you know, the fathers weren't kind of involved in the birth.
Yep.
So my dad was at work.
Yep.
And my mum had me.
Can you imagine going to have an operation and your husband's at work or your life partner not even knowing what's going on? How did he even concentrate? Just a different time.
Yeah.
It was. So he was contacted at sort of 8:30 in the morning and told, you know, oh, look, you've got a healthy baby girl.
Wow.
Beautiful.
So he turned up to the hospital to be told that I wasn't well at all.
Right.
So what had actually happened, about 3 hours after I was born, between the lift between maternity and theatre, because obviously mum had a C-section, I had a cardiac arrest.
Oh, my gosh.
Jasmine.
At 3 hours old.
Oh, goodness.
So I don't know. I always say I've always had cerebral palsy. Mm. However, I was not born with it. So there's always that little bit of there's always that little bit of thing of I wonder what would have, and I still do. I wonder how different my life would have been had that not happened.
Mm-hmm.
And when you asked me about songs, there was a song for me by Missy Higgins.
Mm.
And I've left it out till now, called The Sound of White.
Mm.
And I listened to it for years and I loved it. I loved Missy Higgins.
Same.
And then about probably a month, 6 weeks ago, I was listening to it and I went, oh, wow, those two people are me. Where she says something about if things get real for me down here, promise to take me to back to the day before you went away, if only for a day.
I know.
And I sometimes go, I never got to meet.
Yes.
My thoughts are, so I never met that little girl.
Yes.
I don't know that little girl.
Yes.
Nobody knows that little girl.
No.
None of us got to know what that little girl would be like.
Yes.
Yeah,
so, incredible. But, you know, I used to sing this in the car, you know, when I'm driving to somewhere when I was by myself. And so I've known it for years, like that song for years.
Yeah,
But it was only probably in the last 6 to 8 weeks.
Mm.
And I listened to it one day and went, wow.
Yeah, it was written for
you. That's my story.
Yes.
That's my story.
You had a cardiac arrest. was a nurse with you at the time, or was your mum? Because your mum would have been in recovery.
Well, she was asleep.
Yes.
She knew nothing about it, so till after it was all over. So, yeah, there were obviously nurses and that with me, but they didn't have, there was nothing in the lift. So between the lift, like there was nothing to do any revival. So they would have been, I'm assuming, they would have been doing it just all by,
CPR. Old-fashioned CPR.
Mm. And the obstetrician would have been in probably delivering someone else's baby. So it was between maternity.
Goodness.
And
unbelievable.
Theatre. So when Dad arrived at the hospital, he arrived to a minister.
Mm.
He saw a minister who said, she's had a turn. She might not survive.
Wow.
This is why I wanted to write all this down, because I thought, you know, this is what needs to come out too.
Yes.
And he was asked to sign paperwork giving permission for any life-saving medical procedures necessary. So Mum knew nothing about all that.
So traumatic. Like, he's just at work, gets a phone call, you've had a baby girl, gets there, she's had a turn. Whatever that means.
Yeah, and that's how Mum said he was told.
Mm.
He was just told I'd had a turn.
Mm.
So it wasn't until that afternoon, like, that they were both then told that I was gravely ill, too sick to be even sent to Sydney.
Wow.
To be transferred.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was specialed for 3 weeks or something.
Wow.
So, like, from the time, like, 3/8 to 24, so there would have been one nurse, an 8-hour shift, or two nurses maybe.
Yep.
I was christened on the day.
Oh.
I don't know even who my godparents are or godparent.
Yeah.
I don't know. It was just done. And I do remember Mum once saying to me, they sort of were waking up going, you know, what do you want to name your daughter? What do you want to name your daughter?
Goodness. Her trauma.
Yeah. So I do remember her telling me that. Mm. That's not anything, but I do remember her telling me that. Mm. So then 8 days after I was born, Mum was discharged from hospital.
Mm. Yes.
So then she would, because I've got an older sister, obviously.
Mm.
So then she would spend every second day, she would come over, visit me, you know, bring clean clothes and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And that's 45 minutes each way.
I was going to say, what's the drive? Huge. Yeah. Oh.
45 minutes each way.
And she's just had a Caesar, let's not forget.
Yep. So I was transferred then to Royal Alexander Hospital for Children in Camperdown in Sydney on the 6th of November.
Wow.
By air ambulance.
Right.
I'd say Mum just basically got a phone call, oh, we're taking, your daughter. And I think they might have actually been taking, I think Mum's told me in the past that they were actually taking another child. I don't know who it was, but she just got a phone call saying, we're taking another child. Have you got insurance? She's going in an air ambulance.
Wow. Oh, my gosh.
Pretty much. So I do know that.
Yeah.
That's what was done. So Mum and Dad followed down probably 2 days later, because I had to organise care for my sister.
Yeah.
Dad obviously had to let work know that what had happened. So it would have been pretty big.
Yes,
like
massive.
Yeah.
And no mobile phones, no texting, no nothing.
No.
Can't just update your Facebook and go, can we have some help?
No.
And Mum actually rang, I think, the hospital. Well, she said she rang the hospital. So actually she rang them. To see how I was going. This is before they got down there. And that is when she was told over the phone that I had a heart valve problem, which has led to a serious brain injury. She was told that over the phone.
Oh. So no one told her at your home hospital?
No, they didn't know.
They didn't know.
They probably did. Like, it wasn't until I got to Sydney. It wasn't until I got to Sydney. I don't think they were really sure what was going on.
Yeah.
So, like, it wasn't until I got to Sydney. So my estimated weight at birth was 8 pounds.
Yep. Mm.
when I arrived at Sydney on the 6th of November, I weighed 7 pounds 2.
Yeah. Lost a lot of weight.
Lost a heap of weight.
Yeah.
I was discharged from Sydney. So after being in Sydney from the 6th of November, I was discharged from Sydney on the 10th of December, still weighing 7 pounds 2.
Yeah.
I hadn't put on any weight.
Yeah.
And that's when Mum and Dad were told that my level of disability would be was unknown,
right?
Because I was obviously so young.
Yep.
And they were also told I may never progress at all. Mm. And here today I'm sitting.
Wow, yeah. Jasmine.
So I was released from hospital. And Mum had nursing experience, and at the time when I was released, the only treatment being provided prior to my discharge was a drip for dehydration.
Oh, wow.
Due to projectile vomiting. So after feeds.
Yes.
So she, after having a meeting with the medical team, which there was a fair few of them, I've been told, she requested that I be sent home.
Yeah.
And she'll look at
if I needed.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, and then she, because she knew if I needed to have a drip or anything like that, she could just take me back to the hospital that I was born in for that, if that needed to happen. So 6 weeks later, this is after I've been released from hospital in Sydney and gone back. I went back 6 weeks later for a checkup, and I went from 7 pounds 2 to over 10 pounds.
Yeah, you just needed to be with your mum.
Love.
Yeah,
because what she would do, she said to me, is she would feed me, and obviously then I would projectile vomit, which I'm sorry to say that, but that's what would happen.
Oh, yeah, no, lots of our pea shoots live like that.
Yes. And then she would just top me up.
Yeah.
So, and then she'd top me up and she'd sit me in a Fraser chair.
Yep.
In a position. So that's what probably.
Yeah, kept the weight.
The top up was what was putting on the weight.
Yeah.
A lot like that's what was doing it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Something to be said for a mother's love, isn't there?
There is a lot to be said.
She's going to find the solution when nobody else does.
Yes.
Mm.
Yeah. So, and she's always been mum. I think she's always found ways to get around things.
Yeah.
Even, before we realised pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So between 10 and 12 months, she took me back to the obstetrician who'd delivered me.
Yep.
And he said, look, this is in the 70s, like this is what we probably class now as a rectum.
Yeah. Yep.
This is said in the 70s, obviously.
Yep.
Look at her. She's lovely. She's got a bit of a spasticity in her arm. We'll slap a plaster on it, patted her on the head and said, good job, Mum.
Oh, that's it.
That's like pretty
much. All that trauma and we don't know if she's going to live and
her heart, brain injury.
Had brain injury, yeah. And then 2 weeks later I had an appointment, which Mum and Dad both went to, and Mum told me that she actually said to Dad, can you come with me?
Mm.
She felt that she'd be fobbed off.
Yes.
Went alone.
I
guess, does it still happen?
I think it does still happen.
I'm guessing it still happens today. So my mum from the time I was born has been advocating for me.
Yes,
she has.
Because this is what she said to the doctor. She told the doctor if there was something to be done, she wanted it done.
Yeah.
She didn't want to wait till I was 3 or 4.
Yeah.
Only to be told if we got seen her sooner, there could have been more done.
Yeah.
So
what a woman.
Yeah, that's what she said. So at 13 months old, I was seen by a pediatrician and officially diagnosed with cerebral palsy.
Mm.
Which to me, when I've listened back to previous podcasts, I find it absolutely astounding. I might be wrong when you hear people say, oh, they were officially diagnosed at 2.
Mm.
And I kind of go, hang on, I was diagnosed. Why in the 2000s are we not finding this out earlier?
Yes.
Or why are they not being told earlier?
Yes.
because I was diagnosed officially at 13 months.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, true.
Yep. Mm, yeah. So it kind of, I, there's a bit of me goes, what?
Yeah.
I know. Yeah, it is strange.
Yeah.
I think it's because parents or caregivers still have to push sometimes.
Yeah.
People just think, oh, that woman's an alarmist or that father's overreacting or that, you know, where in actually very rarely true.
Yeah, it's sort of like that. So then at 17 months, so I was diagnosed at 13 months. At 17 months old, I had my first official appointment or first official time at the Spastic Centre at Lambie Heights.
Yes.
So, and that's where I believe my early intervention began.
Yes, yeah. It would have.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was only 17 months, yes. Not 2.5 or 3
years.
Yes,
yep,
yep.
So this is what would pretty much happen quite often. So we'd go to the Buzzers and Babies unit and I would see doctors and doctors. I'd have physio and OT twice a day. This would go for 5 days.
Right.
So you'd go to the mother's baby unit for 5 days.
Yeah.
And they'd do all this and they'd show mum what to do.
Yep.
Yep.
And we would come home for 3 months.
Right.
And she would do what she had to do for the 3 months and then we would return.
Go back for five days. Right.
And that continued until I was 6.
Do you remember going there?
No.
Okay, yeah.
I don't remember. I have maybe one memory, and that was of seeing what I thought, who I thought was a bigger boy walking around with a helmet on.
Yeah.
Yep.
But I have no idea how old I was.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's when I say I don't have memories. I know because I've been told.
Yes. I don't
know because I remember.
You had to ask her.
Yeah.
Does she, I'm interested, how did she feel going there? Was that a good experience for her? Did she meet other parents? Was it a bit of a rest?
Yeah, she met other parents. She admitted, like, she didn't know until she went there. She didn't know much about cerebral palsy.
Yes. Mm. No,
nobody.
None of us do.
Back then,
But
yeah, back in the 70s, it was just, she has actually said to me over the years that when she was younger, like probably, you know, before she was even married, she worked in, a hospital and she said, looking back, I think I actually nursed a person with cerebral palsy.
Yeah, she probably
that
did.
Was a long-term patient.
Yes. Yep.
But at the time, she really sort of didn't know that that's what it was. It wasn't probably until she went to the Spastic Centre that it all kind of fell into place.
Yes. Wow. So do you remember your mum doing exercises with you or you just had a childhood and you – I mean, I don't remember loads from when I was 4 or 5.
No, me either.
I don't remember
my first day at school even though when I was in
school. No, I don't either. No.
I don't remember my first day at school. Yep.
No,
yep.
I don't.
Mm. I remember being scared of the toilets.
Oh, yes.
Oh, the toilets, yes.
Yeah.
So it wasn't until the age of 6 and, like, because we obviously live in a country area and I think she heard someone once say, oh, you know, about people who are elderly getting all this help and I think she did say to me, I actually said, well, that's really great. I'm so grateful that there are people who are elderly getting support. But I have a 5-year-old, 6-year-old who needs help, who needs physio, and that's when she found out that 45 minutes away from where I live was actually a pediatric occupational therapist and physiotherapist.
Ah, the therapies of the 70s, yes.
The therapies of the – well, this by this stage, it was
the 80s, yep.
I was like, so this was, 1980.
Yeah, yep.
So that then became every Monday afternoon for years, I went.
After school?
Pick me up from school.
Yep.
With afternoon tea. So I'd eat it on the way.
Yeah. Yep.
And I'd have 45 minutes of physio and 45 minutes of OT.
Right.
It's a big day.
Yes, exhausting.
After I'd been to school today,
Yes, man.
Yep, yep. Oh. So... So, yep, so that would happen. So that happened for quite a few years.
Mm.
To this day, and this is very, and I actually do see her, still see her sometimes. My first physio, Jenny, I love her to bits.
Yeah, that's the best news.
We have a friendship, we have a relationship. Aww. It's just something that, something that sort of stuck.
Mm. Oh, well, so, your formative years were spent with her.
That's right.
Yeah. But also, not only them, but she also came back as an adult. So I've had her growing up.
Yeah.
And then I made an appointment to see a physio. And I went over and I just remember her coming out and she goes, I didn't make the appointment with her because I didn't know she worked in the office, obviously. And she walked out and she went, hello, I hope you don't mind, but I stole you. And we walked in and I went, oh.
So happy to be heaven. Stolen. Yeah.
I went, thank heaven. She said, well, I said, because I don't have to start from the beginning.
Yes, that's right.
I don't have to start from the beginning.
So true.
She also assisted in finding me a neurologist as an adult.
Right.
Because I was in the time where once you turn 16, you are no longer a pediatrician.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
So I saw a neurologist and that up until then. So she was going, there's stuff going on here. There's changes happening.
Right.
I don't know what they are, but they're not. There's something different happening.
Right.
So she's the one with her assistant. I found a neurologist.
What about school? Do you want to tell us a bit about school, what that was like?
Whoa, yeah. Okay. You ready?
Yeah, yep. I'm ready.
Nothing like it is today.
Yes. Just
let me tell you.
Yeah.
So I attended preschool from the age of 3. So at 3, there were 2 afternoons a week.
Yeah.
Yep.
2 afternoons, that was it.
Yeah.
Yep.
No more. And at 4, 2 mornings a week.
Yes. Yep. Yeah.
You never even got a full day of preschool.
No.
But I was mainstream.
Yes.
But mum had made a decision along the way that she would determine if I needed to go to a special school, that's where I would have gone.
Yeah.
And again, the special school was 45 minutes away.
Yes. Everything's 45 minutes away from where you live.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Everything's 45 minutes away pretty much, yeah. So my disability actually meant that I was able to learn.
Yep.
So I attended a Catholic school, mainstream Catholic school for my primary education. My sister was already attending, going there, but mum had actually said to me, oh, even if she hadn't have been, I would have sent you.
Right.
Because she felt, I guess it's a small country town, but she felt that smaller school, smaller classes that I would have got a fairer go.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So I would have probably gone to the Catholic school regardless of where my sister
did
went.
Did you like school?
Yeah, I like. It depends what you mean by like.
Well.
Oh yeah, I liked school. I liked school when I was younger, and I liked it. Oh, how do I explain this? So there was a lot of things I couldn't do.
Yes.
So sometimes it was frustrating.
Yes.
Yes.
You know, but I wouldn't say I disliked. You know, I hated school.
No.
I liked school, but there's a lot in it.
Yeah. So, it's tricky.
Yeah, and by age 9, they no longer did reading tests on me because I already had a reading age and comprehension level of 14.
Wow.
Once you get to that age, they say you don't need it.
Yeah, that's right.
They go, like, oh, we're not doing anymore.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Did you read a lot?
So reading was not so much now, but I think that the university sort of turned me off reading. I was reading to find information. I wasn't reading stuff.
For pleasure.
So, you know, it sort of was hard to come back to.
I feel like we You know, now there's internet and Instagram and social media and YouTube. But when we were growing up, we could escape into a book. And you could totally be lost in that world. And
that's right.
I feel like a lot of our kids won't ever know what that's like. No,
they won't know.
No. And there was not 24-hour TV. You had to wait for ABC, you know, to come on. There was 1 hour of kids' shows and then it was boring Parliament. You know, like it was just reading was, which is easier for me because I loved reading.
And we were able to.
Yes.
Yeah, so we could entertain ourselves.
But, yeah, I loved it.
Yeah. So having said that I was a fairly, you know, proficient reader by the age of 14, I'm not a very – maths was never a strong point. Yeah. Still isn't.
Look, I feel you.
I
feel you. I cannot do maths.
I've just finished grade 5 maths last week and I'm bad at it.
I am bad at maths.
Oh, yeah, wait till I get up to something about that. Yeah. It still isn't. So then we've got during my schooling for both primary and secondary school, support teachers were non-existent.
Yes.
They really were. I don't remember.
Yes, I don't remember them either. Nope.
The class teacher was our only support.
Yep. Yes. And some of the classes were 30 kids.
Yeah.
35 kids.
So for me, when I was thinking about this, I thought, oh, but year 4 was a year I remember pretty well.
Yep.
And the reason is the teacher was on her first year out of college. She was on her first year out of college in her classroom that year because we were it was a composite class, three and four, was me with cerebral palsy who couldn't do any of my own artwork at all.
Yes.
I only had one hand.
Very tricky.
No artwork, no art projects.
Mm. Yep, scissors.
A boy with cerebral palsy who could understand but wasn't very verbal. And there was also a younger child at the school who had a different form of cerebral palsy to me.
Yep.
Right.
Wow, all in the one class.
No, he was not in my class.
Sorry. Yep, yep,
yep. He was younger.
Yep.
But there were three children. Yes. I was thinking there was actually on top of us, there was actually probably 3 to 4 children in my class that had learning difficulties, especially had us.
Yes.
Plus.
Yes.
Learning difficulties. And then still in the school, right, there was a younger child with Fragile X syndrome.
Mm.
So for a smaller school of less than 100 students.
Yeah.
It had a very high, significantly high population of children with special needs, right?
Mm.
And it was all left up. And the reason I've put all that in is to kind of let you know it was all left up to the class teacher.
Yes.
To teach every student.
Yes.
Mm. There was no help.
No.
They didn't have aides in the classroom.
No.
And it just wasn't. I didn't even know they existed. Like, they didn't exist.
No.
You know, they just, I just got on with stuff.
Mm.
So then I've jumped to high school.
Yep.
High school was interesting, to say the least, right? I still used no walking aids of any kind.
Didn't have calipers. An AFO? Oh, you had calipers?
No AFOs, no nothing.
Yep.
The calipers were long gone.
Yep.
They had been, you know, gone a long time.
Yep.
The school was built in 1973.
Yeah, I can imagine it.
Stair City.
Inaccessible.
Yep.
Yep, stairs were everywhere.
Oh, Jasmine.
I had no option but to walk up and down them.
Oh, God, scary.
I did it.
You did it.
Because you're a legend.
And looking back, although times may have been different or difficult, it made me the person I am today.
Yeah.
Because you just got on with life.
Yes,
because
there
was no other option.
That's right.
It just wasn't the option.
Do you remember feeling scared about people rushing past you on the stairs?
I had a few accidents.
Yeah, I bet you did.
Yeah. There was a few incidences where I, would go to school but didn't actually go to school for the day because I got to school and something would happen and dad or mum would get a phone call, even in high school.
Yes.
Can you come and pick her up?
Yep.
So not very often, but it did happen. I walk up and down the stairs. So the first thing I actually remember being offered in terms of assistance, if you like, was after my sister left school. So when she got her license, I could go to school with her.
Yeah.
So when she finished year 12, it was then a lady from the then Crippled Children's Association said to my mum, oh, you know, did you realise that Jasmine could be getting the bus to school because she has a disability? Even though I lived like within the radius of you have to pay because I had a disability, I could get it. And I could have actually probably been getting it since I started school.
But right, she didn't know.
Nobody ever.
No one told her. Yes. What a thing to say. Did you realise?
No. Obviously not. Obviously we didn't realise.
Like, well, someone has to tell us, someone like you.
So that's what I'm saying. Yeah, sadly today I feel nothing much has changed in that unless you know to ask,
you
don't get told.
That's true, no. Jasmine.
Which to me is very sad.
It's terrible. Especially
we're now in the, you know, 2020s.
Yeah, yeah. We thought we were, you know, flying our own planes by now.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
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 Yep. In year 11, I chose biology as an elective, but I soon realised that I couldn't do the experiments with one hand.
Bunsen burners, cutting up rats.
Experiment, you know.
Yes.
So I mentioned it to my teacher, but no options were given, right? So I just changed electives. I chose ancient history.
Oh, my gosh.
Not
that's
because I wanted
so
to do
much
it.
Harder than biology.
Yes.
but I didn't want to do it, but the only other choice I had was ag.
Oh, right, yes. Going to go
I could not imagine myself running around the ag lot.
Nope, no gumboots for me. No.
So in that case, if I'd had my time over again, and I would have done it, I should have asked for an aide to assist with
it. Yes, so you could have done biology.
But again, hindsight is a wonderful thing. When you're only, you know, I was only 16.
Yes, right. You didn't
hard
know.
Hard to speak up for yourself.
Well, I don't know if I wasn't speak up. I just didn't know.
I didn't
I
even
could.
Know it was an option. Yeah.
That's right. It wasn't ever an option. In relation to operations, I've had several in my life, but I've had one operation specifically directed to with my CP.
And
that was when I was 15.
Yep.
And that's because at the age of 8, I said to my mum I didn't want surgery unless it was necessary.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
So I needed the operation at 15, which was a tendon transference and Achilles tendon lengthening. Yep. So, Mandy, maybe you're very right. Up until this, mum had gone back to work part-time. She left work when I required surgery.
Big.
I remember going to see the surgeon that this is – I kind of found this really strange. I remember going to see the surgeon and he said – what they were going to do, because I was falling over all the time, going through shoes like you wouldn't believe.
Yes.
I'm sure many of you would get it. And at the same appointment, that surgeon suggested he could operate on my hips.
Yeah.
Okay? But it wouldn't to put him in a natural position.
Yep.
In the next breath, he said, it won't make you walk any better and you may end up in a wheelchair.
Oh.
Not being able to walk. My thoughts were, at the time, how as a medical professional would you say that to a possible patient
who
just walked in to a consultation?
Rectum.
I literally walked into the consultation. Yeah. So I'm there saying, that's what I saw. I made the decision then and there that I wanted to have the surgery on my foot.
Yes.
And not my hips.
Yes.
So, but he then also said, go home and think about it.
You're like, no, that's why we came here.
We came home.
Yeah.
I'm sure it was to do with the hips.
Yes.
But I knew I didn't want to have that.
No.
Yeah.
But I just made mum ring him the next day and say, yes, she wants it.
Yeah.
But can you now ring him and tell him?
Yeah.
Yeah. And she always let me know, like, pretty much mum's always, when it's come to my health care, I've always made the decisions. Even before I was legally able to.
Yes.
My mum's kind of followed my.
Yes.
Yes. Which is awesome.
Like thing. So,
yes.
And the reason I think I told her at 8 was that I didn't want surgery, and I'm not trying to kind of scare people, but I saw children having surgeries.
Yes.
I saw what That's they scary. Went through. And then with cerebral palsy, it's a brain injury.
That's right.
So you're not fixing the problem.
That is the agony.
Yes.
As a
you're just making it okay for the time being.
Yes.
And I had seen, you know, I'd go, okay, they've had surgery, but like, look, now they're like they were before.
Yeah.
Even if it's a couple of years later.
Yeah.
And I guess I think that's why I became like that.
Yeah.
Oh, well, not became like it, but that's why I kind of really made that decision.
It's powerful. Really powerful. And it's, it, as I said, it's the agony that I went through.
Yeah, Mandy has been tormented by that. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. So even when, so when I'd had that surgery, I had probably the week I had the I had week off school, like, and that was the week I was in Sydney having surgery.
Yeah.
I pretty much went back to school as soon as I was, like, as soon as I got back home because I wasn't sick.
No.
Yep. So we had two wheelchairs.
Yep.
So, like, I did, because I didn't have, didn't have any wheelchairs, so we borrowed two. Mum had one at home, there was one at school.
Yep.
And I was she used to come and pick me up at lunchtime and then take me back because I felt scared to go to the toilet at school.
Yeah, yes. Yeah, I went.
Yes.
And I'd take her there. Yep.
Yeah, because I knew that if I put my foot on the ground, I put my foot on the ground for a month or more.
Yeah.
Like not even and to say that to somebody, I didn't feel I could trust them.
No.
Absolutely.
Well, there was no aids. There was nobody there.
Yes.
But I knew Mum could, so that's what I did. Yeah. She used to come pick me up and I'd go home.
Oh, my gosh, she'd be busting. Have lunch.
Yeah.
Have lunch and, you know, then she'd take me back to school.
Yeah.
And that's why. So when they took the plaster off, that was interesting.
Yep.
Yep. My leg went back to where it was.
Yeah.
Before I started.
They didn't put you in an AFO or something or?
No. It just rotated back inwards.
Oh, gosh.
And I think it took 12 months and I always say this, it took me 12 months to get back to where I was before they did the surgery and another 6 months on top of that.
Yeah.
For me to kind of go, hey, okay, it was worth it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. 18 months. Yep. And that's what I guess people need to
It's long term recovery.
Yeah.
For us, recovery is a long time.
Yes, it is.
It's not, you know, it's not 6 weeks
or it's a year.
Break your leg. It's probably 12.
Yep.
For, you know, for us. And the amount of times I've had to learn to re-walk.
Yes.
Is unbelievable.
Yes. Yeah.
Getting my license.
Yeah. Yes, tell me about that.
Oh, yeah. So it was a huge achievement. So unlike everyone at school, so I didn't get it at 16.
No.
Yeah. I had to wait till I left school to see if I was even capable of driving. I didn't even, even though I lived in country area, I never even got the chance to drive a paddock basher.
No.
Like most kids can get in a paddock basher and drive around.
That was my first driving, yep.
Yeah, yeah. So that didn't happen for me. When I was about eight, I had a cousin that had a motorbike. He had a peewee.
Mm-hmm.
And he used to drive around it. He used to ride around his the rifle range just up behind where they lived.
Yep.
And one day he took me for a ride and he sat me in front of him and he put his arms around me so I wouldn't fall.
Yep.
And he took me over all the jumps.
Ah, best.
That were up there. And I was like, I probably let out a few screams. I was scared. Not because I was scared, because I'm a little bit of a daredevil.
Yep.
But because I was actually having fun.
Yes, the best.
Oh, yeah.
So, and then the first time I was behind the wheel of an actual car was during my 2 weeks intensive driving lessons.
Yeah, right.
And, like, I'm under 5 foot and they put me in this car that was too
huge.
Big for me.
Wouldn't be able to reach the pedals.
No. They actually had to end up putting a false floor in it the next week.
Yes.
Let me tell you, it's possible to bunny hop an automatic vehicle. I'm here to tell you it's possible because I've done it.
No feeling like getting in that car and driving by yourself.
Oh,
is there?
Brilliant.
Oh,
actually, I bought a car, got it modified.
Oh. Yes.
So I couldn't buy the car and get it modified until I knew I could.
Yes.
Yeah, get the license. Yeah. Yep.
So that was it. So once I knew that was a possibility,
and that's
when
big,
I could
big
that's
effort.
When I did it. Yep. So what would then I was going did a TAFE course over Young, yep. which is 45 minutes again yep. from here.
As long as it's 45 minutes, Jasmine's happy.
So I'd get a lift over in the morning with someone who worked over there.
Yep.
And then Mum would bring my car over in the afternoon and I'd drive home. At the 70-kilometre that you could drive
yes.
back then. Yes. You had your L's.
Yes.
Remember when you had your L's and you could only drive 70 kilometres?
I don't remember. That's a New South Wales thing. I don't think we had that.
Yeah, Victoria.
So what, that took you an hour and a half instead of 45 minutes.
Oh, well, it took me probably an hour.
Yeah.
70 kilometres. I don't know. Maybe it is only a New South Wales thing.
I don't know.
Because New South Wales P-platers were also limited to 90 and Victorian P-platers have always
been
adequate.
But we were limited to 80 when I had my
– Yes.
I don't remember.
Yeah, that's not a Melbourne thing.
It's gone up now. So then I went for a test and I failed the first one because I did something silly. It was nerds.
Yeah.
Same as me. Nerve-wracking.
And the second time I got them, I got my license.
Brilliant.
And that next morning, I drove myself to TAFE.
Oh, Jasmine.
And Mum says to me, still says, that the morning she watched me drive away, like she had butterflies.
But she thought back
moment.
To that moment saying, we don't know what
we didn't
your
know if she would
gonna,
even leave.
Yeah, and here she's driving.
Driving,
that's incredible.
She probably went inside and bawled her eyes out, had a shower cry, ate a big block of chocolate.
She didn't really say it, but she just kind of said, I held my breath and watched it go round and round.
I bet she did.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
So, like, I've always loved babies and children.
Yes.
And, you know, most people, if they do babysitting, it's like they're 15, 14, 15, yes. 16. Yep. Not me. I was 18.
Yeah.
So I wasn't even going to school.
Yep.
So I met a lady who I'm still friends with today. We don't even live in the same state anymore, but we catch up occasionally, like chat.
Yep.
And I went to a function at her place. And when she met me, she actually asked me if I would babysit her children. I was stunned. Mm. She had four children, aged 3 months, six, and eight.
Oh.
Like, I literally went, and I actually said, are you sure? Like, I don't have any babysitting experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, yep, and she just went, yep, no worries.
Wow.
Over time, I became aware that she referred to me as babysitter extraordinaire.
Oh, Jasmine, you were awesome.
So not only did she accept me to look after her children, but, you know, she let me carry her baby around,
yes.
walking with yes. the baby at 3
Yes,
months.
Yes.
I was probably, you know, when I met, he was 3 months, he was the baby. And when they left town, I have to just tell you this because it's very sweet. When they left town, I took him down the street to get an ice cream while she was packing the baby. So he was by that stage 3 or 4.
Uh-huh.
And I'm walking him down the street and he goes, when we leave, because I said, yeah, he goes, will you look after our house? And I went, I can't explain. Well, it's not going to be your house anymore.
Yeah.
How do I do that? And then we walked a bit further and he goes, when we leave, and he just looked up at me with these little puppy dog eyes, he goes, I'll never see you again. Oh. See me. Oh, probably, you know, maybe if not every day, every second day.
Yes, you're very important.
Yes, you will see me. And I did, like, I did see them. I don't see them now, but they're, you know, they're all grown up.
Yeah.
What an important family in your life. Yeah, she trusted you.
And I stayed overnight.
Yeah.
Looking after the four.
Oh.
You know, so that, and, yeah, so it was like, it was pretty big.
Really big.
So, and I always say now, thanks to my friend, I learned I was capable and could look after young children.
Yes.
That's right. Yeah. Of course.
Yes.
I know that's something Molly often says to me, scared of stuff like that. So,
Yeah.
It's a good lesson to me.
You've got to, I guess, you've got to get that trust.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you've got to know that they trust you because otherwise you lose interest.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, and of course.
And that has happened to me in the past.
Yes.
I probably when I was younger there were times I didn't, like, you know, I didn't ask to even nurse anybody's
babies
and stuff because I just got to the stage, you know, like, oh, yeah, sit on the lounge.
Yeah.
So I gave up asking.
Yeah.
Or gave up even until they got older.
Yeah.
Because you're going, oh, you know, I know. But now we've got up to the becoming an aunt bit.
Yes, we're interested in that. Yeah, so tell us about becoming an aunt.
All right, yep, because I want to hear about overseas as well.
Well, yeah. I became an aunt in 1993.
Uh-huh.
Oh, good year.
In actual fact, Nicholas has just had his birthday.
Yeah.
On Monday. So I will leave out his age for my sister.
Yes, yes.
Well, you can tell your sister he is exactly the same age as the sound engineer.
Ah.
But I also feel we're very old at the moment.
Yeah.
Because I know how much older I am than him. That's Okay. So he was born prematurely at 30 weeks and 5 days.
Mm.
He has cerebral palsy and he's quadriplegic. Prior to his birth, so my birth had been something that just happened.
Yes.
Like there was no explanation.
Mm.
After Nicholas's birth, we found out that we both had a heart problem.
Right.
And it became apparent over time that his level of disability was going to be greater than mine.
Mm.
And is he your sister's first child?
Yes.
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 Yes, sorry.
So before you ask me how I thought you're going to ask me how this made me feel, so I'll write it in here.
Yes.
Yes.
How did it make me feel? I was upset for my sister, who as a child grew up with a disabled sister and now had a disabled son.
Yeah.
Like that for me was like, oh, how do I let you know that I'm upset for you because that's not what I wanted for you.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to have a disabled child. Mm. It just happens.
Yeah.
But I didn't think. At the time, you know, we didn't think there was going to be that was going to be an issue.
How confusing for you. It's all of it. It's all the feelings.
Yeah. I was.
And did you feel like she had to support you a bit when you were growing up?
She didn't have to. She didn't actually. She wasn't made do it.
No.
Like, but I think she did. And I think she still feels responsible for me now in a way.
Yeah.
Like, and I know that.
Yeah.
And I often said to her, I don't expect it.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I know she does.
Yeah.
She does, you know, she does probably worry and she does at times. I know that. So, yeah, I know that's there. So, and I felt upset for mum and dad, his grandchild. Like, I thought, gee, like, you know.
A lot.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now your grandson.
Yeah.
Like, so it kind of like, I sort of wondered, did it, you know, particularly mum, did it kind of bring back memories of how hard it was for me or with me, like with things?
Yeah.
She actually said no. Mm. I did ask her that the other day and she said, well, no, not really.
Yeah.
But that's just how I felt.
Mm.
Yeah. I suppose your mum knew though. Look how awesome Jasmine is. Look how much I love her and how much love she brings to me.
She knows
she's a child and Nicholas is a child and children bring love.
I would feel like that too as a grandma.
Yeah.
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 Interesting.
So that's So, yeah, that was kind of a bit sort of like surreal.
Yes.
And then
so he
although I love Nicholas dearly.
Yeah, go.
Yeah, I love him dearly, and we have a very strong bond even today.
Yes, you do.
Within 12 months of his birth, I made a decision that regardless of whether I was married or had a partner, I would never have children.
Really? Right.
Yep. There's a reason.
Ah.
I would never attempt to have a child. The level of disability I have meant that when I considered children, I was concerned about how I would look after a child, even with assistance.
Mm.
And then if that child had the level of physical disability that Nicholas has or more, how was I going to look after that child when I sometimes had difficulty looking after myself?
Yes. It's really complex, yes, isn't it? Complex. It's really complex.
And I know a lot of people might go, oh, how could you make that decision? But that was my that's my personal choice.
That's right.
People should make that decision. I'm just saying I made that decision
for
myself.
You. Yes.
And probably for everybody else around me. So when he was born, he became obviously he became a huge part of my world.
Yeah.
Even though they lived so far away, and then they did move a bit closer for a while, but then moved back to Sydney.
Yep.
And I thought maybe it's because I thought that that would be like he would be the only auntie. He would be the only person I would be an auntie for.
Yes.
Right. So that was. That was probably why I thought that, and that's why we had such a strong bond. And it's not funny, but I know he was about 10. He's got a memory like an elephant.
Mm.
And he was about 10, and between 8 and 10. And he said to me one day, why don't you nurse me like you used to? And I went, pardon? And he went, like, why don't you nurse me when you used to? And I said, because you're too big for me now, your tube was too long.
Yes.
And I just suddenly went, oh, so maybe he does kind of, because I used to nurse him a lot.
And
it was just he sort of came out with it one day. He often comes out with things. But, yeah, he was only about 10 at the time. But so then a few years later, I've got a niece.
Right.
And I was kind of going, when I found out, which was very unexpected, and for years after Nick was born, I referred to Nicholas as my favourite boy.
Yeah.
So when I found out my sister was pregnant, I was like, oh, I hope she has a girl.
Yeah.
I quite didn't know how I was like, my favourite boy.
Yeah.
And how am I going to, like, if she has another boy.
Yes.
What do I do?
Aww.
Nick's got an intellectual disability.
Yep.
But he's achieved like in not leaps and bounds, but he's achieved certain things.
Yes.
And although he found it hard like to pronounce words.
Yes.
Or, you know, he can talk.
Yep.
But he also has very, very good receptive language.
Yes.
And I did speak to my sister and I asked her, could I tell this, and she said, yeah, go ahead. She had no problems with him going to school. He always went to a special education class within mainstream school, pretty much. So she had no issues with him at primary school.
Yep.
And he got to high school, and an aide one day said, it was a lady, I think, she grabbed the back of his wheelchair and was pushing it, and he turned around to see who it was. And she said, oh, turn around the other way. You're an ugly little boy. I know, I knew that was going to, that's why I asked you. And he came home from school so devastated.
Oh.
He couldn't eat dinner. He tried to tell his dad about it and he cried.
Oh.
And my sister rang the school and explain the situation. You know, he has speech difficulties, but he knows everything that is said to him. Oh. I actually remember her ringing me going, oh, this has happened. And I said at the time, I don't know, probably she doesn't remember, but I do. I said at the time, you know what, it's horrible. It's horrible. It shouldn't have happened. But you know what, it's taught them a lesson. And it never happened again because they knew he would go home and tell them.
Yes. Well, what the hell are they saying to the kids who don't go home?
Well, that's she should have lost her job. Their nonverbal kids.
Well, she did ring. She did, but she did. She actually rang the school and said, look, you know, this is what I think she actually had to. I'm not sure if she kept him home, but he was very upset.
Of course.
Extremely upset.
Nicholas, for starters, his personal space is being someone just starts pushing your wheelchair. No.
He's turned around to see who's pushing
him. Yes, fair enough.
I'm not,
but I've sent you guys photos. So, there's photos that I've sent.
Yeah.
I definitely don't think when he was.
Oh, no. He's adorable.
No one's got the right to say that about anyone.
So I'll go back a bit now about NICU because I know you guys have often said how distressing it can be.
Yeah.
So when Nick was born, I wasn't able to see him for a week.
Really?
Because I was in Sydney.
Yeah.
But it was the case of only parents and grandparents.
Yes, that's right. Two people.
Aunties didn't get a look in.
No, it's hard being an auntie. Yes.
So my mum was staying in Sydney and Dad and I were coming home.
Mm.
And it wasn't until after he was discharged, quite a while after, that my sister told me that she got special permission for me to see Nicholas before we left.
Oh.
And years later she actually said to me, I got special permission, and the reason I got special permission was I could not live with myself if something happened and you never got to meet him.
She knew that he was your favourite boy.
The beautiful sister.
Yeah. Well, that's why, you know, so that she got the permission.
Yes.
And I still remember Nicky like it was yesterday.
Yeah, you don't forget that place.
No, you don't.
Do not. It's very clear memories.
Me too.
Mm.
Yep. So for me, because I was only the aunt.
Well,
so many,
you're the auntie. Yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, in terms of, so they opened the humidity crib so I could touch him.
Oh.
And I put my finger in.
Oh.
Yeah.
You can see it, Baker. Yeah. So that's my finger.
Yeah.
And I realised that his whole hand, his whole arm and hand was that long.
Yes.
Bless him.
So Christmas that year was a very special one.
Yes.
As you did, so he spent it in country New South Wales.
Oh, beautiful.
Being cuddled by everybody.
Everyone, yes.
And I remember it because it was really cold and we had the wood fire on.
Oh,
which is so unusual in Australia.
Yes.
It was really, really cold and we had the wood fire on.
Yeah.
And I thought I'd better just add in here my niece. My niece was very different. And it wasn't until the other day when I was reading through it and I went, oh, my gosh, okay. She was a healthy 7 pound two, which is what I
same weight as you.
What I came home from, and she was a book C-section. We saw her in the afternoon that she was born, so we all met her then.
So different to Nicu.
Oh, I got to have a nurse.
Yes,
her eyes were wide open.
Yes.
And I could see her eyes moving around. Yeah. I think she was using her eyes to follow voices she was hearing.
Yeah. Newborns are incredible.
Very clever.
And so before we continue on with this extraordinary life, Jasmine's going to read us an extraordinary poem.
I can't wait.
So let us know when you wrote it and then read it to us, please.
I actually thought about this and I thought I wrote it after I'd been on a church camp, which might sound really weird, but I felt like I was at a church camp with a lot of people, but in reality I could have just been at home.
Mm.
When I came home I kind of went, I was actually with a heap of people, but I didn't feel like I was.
Yes.
Oh.
So I sat down and I wrote this poem, and I write poetry. The way I write poetry is it never gets changed.
Mm. Right, okay.
So what I write is what is there.
Yep.
So I don't edit it.
Yep.
Sounds so like
the name of it, I can't remember whether I gave it a name and then wrote it or did the other way around. I am a person first. That is the name of it.
Oh, Jasmine, go.
I am two things to people in this world, a disabled person. But to myself, I'm a person who just happens to be unable to do things others take for granted. Even though this is the case, I'm the same as everyone else.
Yes.
I am a person first.
Yes.
Yes.
A person who has feelings and cares what others think.
Yes.
A person who wishes her life might just be worth a little something.
Yeah.
I've spent my life in some ways fighting for one thing, acceptance of my differences.
Mm.
But they're just one little thing. A piece of my life I have no control of. Something I was given that I never asked for.
Mm.
I didn't ask for arms that don't, for an arm that doesn't work,
mm.
or legs that I wish weren't mine. But that's only the outside of my shell.
Mm.
You take the time to know me, then you'll plainly see I am a person first, and then I have a disability.
Mm.
I've had it all my life, you say, so why should I feel sad? I'm sad because I don't know what it's like to be a person who's accepted just for being a person first.
Oh, wow.
I've never found it easy to make too many friends, so the friends I do have are all considered very special. This isn't my chance to complain. I don't have the right to do that. I'm blessed to have a life at all when truth comes down to it. It's just my chance for me to prove to you all that I'm a person who has feelings and would love to be just like you all. But while I'm on this earth, there's not much chance of that, except for one thing that's special. I'm a person first. Please remember that.
Oh.
Wow. That's, yeah, Jasmine, that's beautiful and amazing.
Beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that.
Yes.
I'll have to type it up and put it in there.
I think if we, maybe if you send it to us and we could type it up and put that, in the show notes, or maybe we could take a photo and put it
on
Instagram or something, you know?
Yeah, because it's
like we
can
put it.
I don't mind doing that.
Yeah, that would be lovely.
Tell us where that was. You had it up somewhere in Canberra, didn't you? It was displayed.
When I was doing one of my pracs for uni, I collaborated with a lady for International Day of People with Disability.
Yep.
And it was put up, she did the artwork and I did the, it was my words and she put artwork to it.
Yeah.
And so it was in the Belconnen Art Centre.
Yes.
For I think a month or 6 weeks or something like that. And I actually went to the opening. I went twice.
Yeah,
of course you should.
I went to the opening and then I went to then another time at, like with another friend. We actually went to look at it.
How did you feel when you saw it?
Oh, I actually kind of went, when I went in, I looked to the left and it was just this room and I just started reading. It was really weird. I started reading and went,
oh. That's mine.
That's mine. because I hadn't actually seen the artwork because I didn't want to see it.
Yes,
I didn't actually want to see it until I saw
it. Was put together.
It wasn't like she'd sent it to me and gone, oh, here you go, Jasmine, what do you think?
I
said, don't show it to me. I don't want to see it.
Yes.
Until I'm actually doing it.
Yep. So something that Mandy and I were really interested in, Jasmine, was the fact that you have travelled overseas.
Yes,
can you
tell us?
Right. So I got the chance to go overseas in 1995 and I pretty much grabbed the opportunity with both hands.
Yes.
Or would have if I could have.
I love the one-handed jokes. I have them in my house too.
So I was visiting my sister in January of that year and a friend I met through her had recently completed a uni degree and she was an RN.
Yep.
And we were chatting and she said, oh, if I could find a person to go with, I'd go on holidays before I start work. She'd been offered a position in a Sydney hospital, but she wasn't going to start until May. So you've got to think this is January. She might mean a holiday to Queensland or another state in Australia. I said, really? Where would you go? Response, I'm not really sure, America. That, for me, started the trip of a lifetime. That afternoon, we found ourselves in a Sydney shopping mall making plans.
I love it.
Remember, it was January.
Yeah.
She was starting work in May.
Yeah.
I didn't even have a passport.
Yes, right.
I'd only recently turned 21 and Liz was not much older.
Yep.
But neither of us really looked our age. So we first walked into Jet Set. A lady approached us and kindly asked if she could help. We explained we were looking to go overseas to America in April. The reply came, April next year. April this year. That pretty much ended our conversation.
Oh.
I'm sure she thought we're probably teenagers pulling a prank.
Yes.
Yes.
So no worries, we went next door.
Yeah.
To Thomas Cook.
Yeah.
We organised everything. Still to this day, a smile comes over my face when I remember walking out with everything organised, that first jet set, and the look on the lady's face, which she must have realised we were actually.
It's your pretty woman moment.
Yes.
Yeah. In my late teenage years, I had met a minister and his family and had started going to Sunday night services. I've sort of got off a bit of track here, but
that's
we'll
okay.
Get back.
That's okay.
Yep.
Sunday night services. More actually, if I'm serious, for, you know, the fellowship.
Socialising. That's the best thing about church. That is the best part of church.
Yeah. Well, I thought that. Yeah. Wait a minute. One Sunday night.
If it works.
Yeah. I mentioned going overseas. And still to this day, I remember what one particular lady said to me. And it wasn't, oh, gee, I hope you have a good time.
No.
It still blows me away. She said something pretty close to, gee, you're lucky to have such great parents. Not long after that, I said, oh, no, my parents are not paying for my overseas trip.
Yes, I'm paying.
I guess you assumed that's how I was going to go.
Yeah.
I'd actually rang Mum from Sydney after I organised it all, like, and said, I'm going.
As a 21-year-old should.
Yes.
Yeah. Not related to the trip, but also on another church-related time. And this is why I put it in it. That same lady said to me, now this is going to just blow you guys away, I think, and I can't even remember why she would have said it in the first place. Your parents and grandparents must have been so bad. After taking a minute to kind of look around at everyone and, like, see the jaw dropped on their the floor, this came out of my mouth before I'd even realise it. If you truly believe that I have a disability because of the sins of my relatives, you really need your head examined.
Yes.
Oh, Jasmine.
You really need your head examined. I was just like, I can't believe that.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry because.
That's okay. I sort of, I'm not over it, but
I'm not over those countless discussions either.
You can cope with them, I think, a bit better.
And knowing that it's a load of bullshit, right?
Well, that's right too.
But still, in that moment, you're so vulnerable.
Well, what a good comeback.
At the time I went overseas, my ability was not the best, but it was better than it is now.
Yeah.
And I remember pulling my suitcase on wheels between LA International Airport and domestic terminals because I'm sorry to the overpeas, but I am going to say this. It appeared that Americans never stopped or slowed down when approaching a crossing.
Terrifying.
Like, we had to run for our lives.
Oh, gosh.
They just did not stop.
And a massive airport.
It's so big.
You have to go from one side to the other. I know.
It's weird.
You can imagine me
running,
pulling the bag behind me.
Really hard.
After 14 or 15 hours.
Oh, yeah.
And then we waited 6 hours or something to get to
Sydney. Yep.
So
LAX
is not a fun place. So we started at San Francisco because we decided we wanted to end our holiday on a, go to all the, go to all the theme parks. On a theme park high.
Yes.
So the last week before returning home was Theme Park Central. So 3 days in Disneyland.
Happiest place on earth.
Mm-hmm.
The first day on a Sunday. I remember this because all the main shows were shown on the weekends.
Yep.
So we only had that one day. So we were there from 9 a.m. in the morning. Midnight.
Oh, yeah, baby.
It's the biggest day.
You're going to take that money and use it.
Yep, so to see all the shows. And we caught the last shot of bus back to our accommodation at midnight. So it took, back then, it took 2 days to get around all of Disneyland.
Yes.
And then we had a third day where we got in early so we could get in at 7:30.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we went on all the rides that we liked for, you know, as many times as we wanted.
Awesome.
And when we were at Disneyland, this is what I also did. I always thought, oh, I'm here. So when we were at Disneyland.
Got a tattoo?
Got a tattoo on your boob?
Oh, no, no. There were signs up that said, if you have a heart condition, do not go on this ride.
Oh.
I thought, I've come all this way. I'm with a registered nurse. I'm going to do everything. I did. Until I'd been to Disneyland, I'd never even been on a roller coaster.
Yeah, right. Wow.
So well, what a great place to do it.
Yeah.
And my first time, my first and only time on a cha-cha was in America. I've never been on one since.
Yeah.
But I've never, I don't feel comfortable with shows, like show rides.
Yeah, no, no.
Especially down the country areas. Yeah. Like I was always.
Yeah. Oh, Disneyland doesn't compare to that. Like
no.
So then we went to Universal Studios for a day. Now, this is another interesting thing. So a lady dressed in a uniform and Kat came over to me. We'd been on the bus
yep.
a few hours, and she asked me to follow her. She asked me, was there anyone with me, and said, oh, come this way. Thanks to the lady, we got to go through the exit area for every ride we went on.
Awesome.
As we were going towards the first exit sign, Liz said to me, you've been standing in lines for hours for 3 days at Disneyland. I said, let's just get to see the whole of Universal Studios today.
Yeah.
We're only there for one day.
Yep.
I'd grown up with my mum as a joke, really. It's sort of a joke between her and I. Mm. And she always says, take advantage of your disadvantage.
Well, fair enough.
Well, sometimes we have to.
Well, yeah.
It's not so really taking it advantage.
It's not.
No.
I don't do it often.
But I know what you're saying.
Yeah. I don't do it often, but I figured, all right, they're offering. I must really
after
sitting on a bus for couple
totally.
Hours.
Yes. You take that
so
help.
So that was it.
Yep.
So I don't consider myself a person who sat around and watched the world pass.
No, you have not.
I volunteered as a teacher's aide in the late 90s
yep.
at a local primary school, 3 days a week, assisting children with learning difficulties to reach their full potential.
Good on you.
Funnily enough, I even sat in and assisted a year 5-6 class on a maths 3 days a week.
Oh, boy.
Remember I said earlier,
you were no good
I was not and still not a good mathematician.
Yeah. No, long division.
But unbeknown to the students, while they were learning, I was actually learning to learn too.
Me too.
So I could finally wrap my brain around top concepts that I could never get.
Yes.
We hear you.
When I was younger.
Yes.
I might just also add here, yes, I sat a maths exam in my HSC.
Yeah.
So that just shows.
Yeah.
So then to successfully complete my degree, I did 2 pracs.
Yep.
Both 500 hours.
Wow.
Which I had to travel to do because you can't.
Yes.
45 minutes at least, I'm
sure. Were you allowed to drive 100 kilometres?
Yeah, that's 45 minutes. So my first prac was in 2011 with the government department now known as Services Australia.
Ah.
So there you go. I worked 3 days a week for 6 months to complete it. During that time, my supervisor and I, who I now call a friend, and I can say we've been now friends for 10 years.
Aww.
And we have never, I don't even remember. I remember having one discussion, but I don't remember even ever having a disagreement.
Yeah,
I can look back and go, we've never had a disagreement.
Aww.
So there was, I worked 2 days in one town and a day in another.
Yep.
And on the day that I worked in the other, she would drive.
Yep.
So this particular day, she we often got given a 4-wheel drive.
Wow.
You know, like so.
Yeah.
So go in. So this particular day, she's jumped in the car and started it up, put a seatbelt on. I went, are you not taking me home today? I'm still down on the, actually standing on the. And she went, like, what? And that was when I went, oh, she actually doesn't see my disability.
Yes.
So she goes, oh, so because I actually needed help, not only because of my disability, but I'm only 4'10".
Yeah.
4 foot is huge.
I needed help to do it. And I completed my second prac in 2014 with New South Wales Health. And I actually then needed to use a mobility aid.
Yes. Mm.
because in 2012 I had dislocated my knee.
Yeah.
And I've never walked the same since.
Yes, yep. Right.
So that's basically when I needed that. So yeah. I already had one.
Mm.
Yep. So I had a walker.
Yep.
Can you guys see? Yep. I know you can't see
it. Yep, we can see it. Yep.
Yep.
Yep. So that. So I had to then, I'd already purchased one in 2012. So in 2014, to be able to do my degree, I then had to purchase another one.
Right.
So that I didn't have to, like, because I couldn't put it in and out of the car.
Yes, yes.
So I had one at work and one at home.
Yeah, right.
So I did that. So that's, like, so, yeah, all up, yeah, I've studied for 10 years.
Yeah, terrific.
And so gaining employment, all that's another one.
Yeah.
That's been difficult.
Mm-hmm. I'm just hoping the peas might be able to help you with this. You never know. Hey?
I do have a very visible disability.
Mm.
And although I have applied for jobs in the area that I've studied, it's hard for me not to wonder whether employers view me as a risk.
Yes.
Mm.
And think, what if she hurts herself at work? What's our responsibilities then?
Yeah.
In 2020, I got my new car with the modifications and an electric wheelchair.
Yeah.
So there is technically now no safety issues.
That's right.
I'm safe with my chair.
Yeah.
However, having the chair now means I need assistance to open doors.
Yes.
It's difficult to open a door.
Yes, I bet.
Go through it when you still need to use the only fully functioning hand limb to remove your, to like to move your wheelchair.
Yes.
Where you need to go.
Yes.
Depression and anxiety. You just want to hear about this real quick. In 2008, I was hospitalised.
Yes.
For depression. Growing up, possibly like most people, I had my down days.
Yeah.
You just got through them. I think for me, 2008 was the year for the first time as an adult that I thought about what the rest of my life would look like.
Yes.
It was like I hit a brick wall.
Yeah.
And I couldn't understand what I was feeling, let alone explain it to anyone.
Yeah.
It had nothing to do with the fact that I started uni that year. Just happened to coincide with it.
Mm.
I don't think it matters who you are. Being hospitalised for mental health reasons are very different to any other, or were very different to any other hospitalisation I've ever experienced.
Yeah.
I was in an acute hospital, not a specialist hospital. I was left on my own except for medication rounds and meals and the odd nurse popping in. I do remember one particular day, not the nurse, but what she said. And what she said was, I don't think I even responded, but she said, if all you are going to do is lie in bed, you'll be doing it at home, you know.
Oh.
I didn't respond. When I did get home, that's when I realised that I was scared to get in the shower.
Yes, of course.
Not because
you were.
I was scared of water, but I was scared I was going to slip over.
Of course.
And that's when I realised I didn't feel comfortable enough to even have a shower unless there was another person in the house.
Yes.
I live on my own.
Yes.
So that's like, so, and it actually even took me probably, it took me a little while to actually mention it to my mum even.
Yeah.
I can't, you know, have a, you know.
Yeah.
So that's, yeah. So that was, and then I was medicated. So that, I pretty much was 6 months, I reckon, before I could actually say I felt better.
Mm.
Like, you know, oh, you know, I felt anything.
Mm.
So, yeah, so I've been on medication for a few months and I wasn't doing anything. So I said, can we switch it or something to different? So they switched it and I was going okay. And then I went to, then I was weaned off it in, at the end of 2010, the medication, because I was in back in touch with a neurologist who needed me to be weaned off it to put me on another medication because it was contraindicated.
Okay, yep.
So, but I've never been, like, since, I've never been medicated for depression.
Wow.
Since.
Right.
Yeah. So I was a nervous child and, you know, so I had depression really and anxiety.
Yeah.
And a doctor actually asked me to tell him in 2008 about my history, so I kind of did.
Mm.
And it was then that I realised that he was the first medical professional who actually heard my history and validated my feelings.
Mm.
Because he actually said to me, if you told me you were fine, I wouldn't, I'd be worried.
Yeah.
When he
that's
heard that.
That's true.
Yeah.
Mm. And now we're just at the last, like the literally the last bit.
Yep, go.
And I think it needs to be told because it's the getting older bit.
Yes.
Mm.
So as I'm getting older, I'm more likely to, I'm most likely to be best described as hope for the best but prepare for the probable scenarios.
Yes, yes.
The best being that with assistance I am able to live as independent a life as possible, my own home, for as long as possible, and the probable being needing to be in care, being looked after because I'm no longer safe to live alone. I'm hopeful this will not occur for many years at all. However, if for some reason it does need to happen, I will be ready for it to happen.
Yeah.
Many may see this as you don't need to think about this. You don't need to think about it scenario. I do. Because I feel better knowing that whatever happens, when it happens, I'll be ready.
Yes.
For me, being able to make my own decisions is important.
Yeah.
And for the ability to be able to, I am forever grateful.
Yes, Jasmine.
So true. Thank you. That's an awesome way to finish.
Oh.
Really, really.
I normally ask, is there anything we've missed?
Yes, there is. I've left it right to the very bottom because I thought there is. So for anybody listening, this is from me, but it's for parents who are listening who may have young children or even because I'm at a very different stage than most people. It says, all right, so you walk beside your children as they live their life to the best of their abilities. You may find that your children, as they get older, will want different things for their lives than you want.
Yes.
You are here to guide your children and help them live the life they choose.
Yes.
So pretty much that is that's what I think needs to be. I don't know, needs to be, but I've always lived that
chosen. Yes. So, Mandy and I don't give parenting advice, but that sounds good.
Yeah, you're allowed to give that advice.
We'll take it from you.
Yes, we sure will.
Because I'm older and I know I'm older than a lot of people in the hangout.
So are we.
Yeah.
So I've tried to be, sensitive and now where is everybody here? They're not all where I am.
Yeah, that's right.
We're all the same.
Different parts of the journey.
Yeah.
They need to I just kind of went, oh, no, this is my truth. This is how it is.
Yes, this is your episode. Thrilled that you shared all that with us.
And giving us your time. It's very precious. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you very much. For inviting me.
Oh, of course. And we know the peas are going to love this episode and getting to know you more and getting your nuggets of wisdom. And
Thank you very much. It's been very enjoyable.
Oh, wasn't that lovely?
So lovely, Mandy.
Oh, Jasmine, so much
wisdom
and experience to share with us. And she's been a member of the Hangout for a long time. She's been super supportive. She bought the book. She posted on her Facebook. Her mum read the book. I mean, what a beautiful family.
Well, we're just really lucky. We just get to meet the most awesome people.
We really, really do. Was lovely. And lovely to hear about her nephew and her relationship with him too. Yeah, what a family, hey?
I tell you what, aunties,
they're the best.
They are. Yeah. They really, really are.
That's right. Okay, let's talk about what made you cry this week.
Okay, so what made me cry this week, sort of a weird thing, but I was standing in the local IGA, big shout out because we love them, and I had a whole lot of stuff to buy and there was a guy that just had a bunch of flowers. So I said, you go first. He's like, no, it's all right. We did the whole dance and then he's like, okay, fine, I'll go first. And then he said to me, how are you going? And I said, yeah, I'm all right. And I said, I'm having people over, you know, it's weird. And he goes, oh, I am a really social person, but I don't know how to do it.
I know.
Because I don't know what to say to people. He said, I've got no stories. I've sat in my room for 2 years. And he said, and then I was going to someone's house and I thought, I need to take flowers. And the florist was shut and I've just got 2 shitty bunches from the IGA. And I looked at them and I thought,
They are shitty. But thoughtful.
But he was just, I don't know, when he left and I got out to the car, I just thought, and I don't want to sound like it's been more of a deal than it has, but I had a cry and I just thought, strangers connecting because we don't know how to be anymore.
That's right.
Yeah, it's just, you know, and you, the reason you don't go to the florist and buy the flowers because you don't really think it's going to happen.
And also,
just expecting it to get shut down again.
And also, it's been shut. It's everything's been shut. We couldn't walk into a florist and get things.
Can't quite work out what you've got to do. Anyway, that was my that was my cry. It's what
funny
about
week.
You?
Oh, I cried with the news that they'd found Chloe Smith, the little 4-year-old, and I was just flicking from 7 to 9 to ABC. You know, and I was, I just had tears running down my face.
I just really thought it was going to be a much worse outcome.
I didn't think she'd be found.
And I don't know what the story is, but I know that I was shocked to my core.
Yes,
and
I was
so
shocked too.
Glad she's with her mum.
Yes. Oh, my goodness, that little girl.
I know.
Yeah.
Just amazing.
Just had big tears running down my face.
But then
I was like, this is like good news.
It is good news.
We haven't had good news.
No, we haven't.
No.
So,
What about what made a difference?
Well, I've got a couple of things that made a difference for me. One of them was that I finally got to see my beautiful work boy, Kieran.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's not a work boy anymore because he's actually a doctor.
Yeah.
But he was a work boy. And we just sat in the pub and we had drinks and I missed him and he missed me.
Yes.
And it was just nice to just
a good time together.
Yeah. And, you know, because he's now a grown up who gets tired, we got to meet at 2:30.
Ah, perfect. Finally on your time.
Yeah, I didn't hear. It wasn't like, do you want to meet at 9? I was like, 2:30 and I was home for dinner.
Oh,
so, you know, it was pretty good.
The greatest.
Yep. The other, I've got two things. The other thing is that nobody's Princess Apparel. She's a beautiful woman. She actually lives with ADHD herself. She decided that ski pants are not for women with hips and bums, and they're not. They're all men's sort of cut.
Right, yeah.
And so she's made these awesome, crowdfunded, raised all the money.
Good on her.
Yep, and she's made really, really awesome waterproof hoodies. Awesome. I actually got a set for Buzz and Woody. So they're sort of women's hoodies, but they're black with this cool thing on the back, and they love them. And I got some for myself and maybe for my daughters for Christmas. Mm-hmm. And I really, really love them. And I just love the perseverance of watching her story.
Yeah,
it's been really, really cool.
Right.
So follow her on Insta.
Yeah.
Nobody's Princess Apparel. And lastly, we said we were going to mention our beautiful certificates from Yasmin. So I thought I might read mine.
Yes.
This was because we realized that Dan Andrews is never going to reply.
We're never getting one.
But this is what Yasmin said to me, and I've printed it out and put it above my computer. Certificate of Recognition. This certificate is awarded to Kate Jones in recognition of getting through 2 years of sparkling remote learning as a year-level coordinator, having to be a maths teacher when you are clearly unqualified, managing your own business, recording a podcast at least once a week, writing, publishing and releasing a book during COVID, admin of the 2Ps hangout, dealing with the Centrelink disaster payment, keeping up with the housework, struggling with the isolation of lockdown and being an amazing friend, mother and wife.
Mm.
I could list so much more, but I don't even know the half of
it.
Not awarded from Dan, who should give you a trophy, instead awarded from Yasmin. I'm not Dan, but I do care.
Oh, just magnificent.
Oh, they're all up around the house.
No,
we love them, love them, love them.
Beautiful.
We will come to Canberra next year and Yasmin
can't wait to see her.
We'll give her a certificate.
Yes, yes.
So what about you, Mandy?
I got new bras, people.
Oh, she got bras and undies.
I got undies and bras. Bras and things were closed.
They were.
As we know, thank you to that hilarious post in the Hangout with those see-through undies and bra.
It's like pieces of rope and you're supposed to put your nipple through this tiny
hole.
It's like my nipple, I reckon my areola would take up the whole bra.
Totally.
That's brought a lot of joy, though.
A lot of joy.
So bras and things, you thought you were being sexy, but you gave a whole lot of Hangout members tears of laughter.
I took each girl to the shops once each, so I went three times.
Yes, good mum.
Without me getting a bra.
Wow.
But I just said, let's go. Let's just buy a few new things. Take Molly into the change room. I said, do you have a tag for 18 pieces of clothing? She said, no. I said, okay. I said, I just have to try them on her.
Yep.
I'm just stripping her.
Yes.
Put the shorts on. Take them off. Put these t-shirts on. Oh, you look beautiful. We just did that the whole time. And then she's like, I love you, Mum. I said, you will love me because we're going to buy you new clothes.
Yes.
She needed them.
Oh. I know.
Anyway,
I'm seeing
my friends at the shops. I was like, hi. You can imagine. I was just screaming under my mask.
Yes.
Yep. But the girls had, you know, Miss Tan went to a sleepover. I just walked her in, like, legitimate, go in, have a great time.
You can enter someone's house.
Go into their backyard, be as loud as you want. Oh. Like, you know, Millie going out with her friends.
Yes.
And, just made this, my goodness.
I know.
You know, we had, you know, went to people's houses over the weekend.
I know, weird.
Oh, my gosh, weird.
Beautiful,
anyway,
though.
So much to make a difference this weekend.
Don't
take anything for granted.
No.
What about your laugh?
So I can't tell you my whole laugh because I'd be stealing someone else's material.
Oh.
But I went to Comedy Republic, which is the most awesome little place in Melbourne, and we saw five comedians on Friday night. It was something like $28.
Awesome.
And we saw Geraldine Hickey, and I can't even tell you. We saw other people too.
Yeah.
But she is so funny. I just love everything about her. And she just told this really long story about I wanted to swim with dolphins, and then and she was like talking to people in the front row who weren't really responding the right way, and it made it funnier.
Yeah.
Anyway, she just told this hilarious story about being on the bus to swim with, I think, a dugong or something, and like on a trip. And she was out of Victoria, and Victoria had the earthquake.
Oh, yes.
And so her whole group chat is just going off, her family group chat. Yes. Oh, earthquake. And then this woman on the bus goes, and where's everyone from today? And she goes, and for some reason, I just thought she was asking about the earthquake because that's what everyone was talking about in my group chat. So I just said, I know, 5.7, right? She said, and my friend said, That's not what she was saying. Anyway, it was just so beautiful to sit in a room and laugh with people.
Oh, Kate.
Just. And what they've been through.
Yes.
That arts community. And we were in our beautiful city, and it was really nice. What about you? What made you laugh?
Well, look, I didn't laugh a lot, but I have been sending this filter through Snapchat to Kate, which puts on this massive smile on your face. And it just, you can't not laugh.
You can't not laugh. I put it on Woody. He's killing himself laughing. And he said to me, why is it funny? I said, I don't know.
It's just one big, massive, smiling face. And so you can't not laugh. That's it.
You can't. You put it on the girls. They were laughing back to me. I'm putting on number one daughter's boyfriend's face. We just had the best fun with this filter. Best.
That's it. That's all you need, the filter.
I'll put a photo up in the
put a photo up
on the socials of Mandy looking extremely happy.
It's the best.
Anyway, thank you for listening to us today. Thank you for buying our book.
Yes, thank you.
I love wrapping them. We love posting them. We've actually got more. So for those of you who've been waiting,
they're coming.
We've got a whole 60 more delivered. So you are going to get those little books within the next few days. Rate and review our show.
Yes,
listen to the Bendigo,
everyone.
Please.
Yeah, listen
if
to
you've
Bendigo.
Got a little bit of time.
It's really good.
And it makes a really big difference to Mandy and I. We're the first.
Yeah, sponsored, branded podcast from Acast.
So that's a huge
We're so proud of ourselves for that.
Proud. So be nice if people listen.
Yeah, please go and listen.
Because I don't know the analytics. I can't see who's listening.
No, she likes to know that stuff.
I like to know. Yeah, so please listen and then tell us how great we are.
Okay, peace.
Okay, bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.